and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
You know, the day destroys the night. Night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side.
All right, the time is here, and the time is now. It is the Being Found Show, your show to help get you a larger percentage of the online buying market. I know, it's so exciting. You're like trembling in your seat going like, whoa, what great information are they going to share with us today? It's like nothing's more exciting than business on a Saturday. But, you know, if you really are interested in business like we are, chances are, you're thinking about it on a Saturday, just like we are. So last week, let me first introduce myself. My name is Chauncey Haworth. I am your host, my co-host here, Jake.
How you doing, Chauncey?
Not bad. It's been a long week of trying to get caught up. Jake and I do some work together, and mm-hmm. There's been a lot of revamping and reworking and tasks put in front of me that I was able to get halfway through and then hit roadblocks. It was not a hugely productive week for me, I have to say. Maybe it is in the long scheme. You know, it's like you got to think about long term, and sometimes you just can't move on without getting over some of those hurdles, you know?
Yeah, totally.
But I have to say that I did not blaze any impressive trails this week in the work department.
Well, we all have those weeks. I should add, I've been putting a lot on Chauncey's plate. We have a really cool new program called Asana.
Yeah.
Sort of a task management program. Mm-hmm. So I get to put things on that and then assign people out. So,
yeah, for any of you guys using this stuff out there, we had been using a program called Trello, which is a fun management. It's fun because you get to move stuff around and it's a little interactive, widgets and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then we've also been using one called Process Street.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I guess that Trello is great for, it's a little bit more simple and streamlined, great for project management. Process Street is great for checklists, great for, you know, if you have a task that's a little bit complicated, people sometimes forget some steps.
Right.
This makes sure that people hit each step as they go through the process.
Right. But we've moved to Asana because it kind of covers both.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So, but I would say anybody who's starting out and looking for some help with project management, like my wife tracks all of our bills with Trello.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, so she basically just moves the bills across as they've been paid. Once they've all been paid, she moves them back over and then starts the next month, you know.
And it's free.
And it's totally free with a lot of great options. And as far as project management programs go, it's just about as fun as one could possibly get. I don't know if fun really applies.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but you get to actually move stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, totally.
Physically drag and drop stuff.
Although I will say, in Asana, when you complete a task, like a unicorn flies across the screen or something.
Yeah, or a unicorn narwhal. I saw the other day. It's like a narwhal flying
like
on a rainbow or
you
something.
Every
yeah.
time you complete a task.
Or fun. Some sort of like phoenix, like a peacock or something. Yeah, I have to admit that. That blew me out of the water when I first saw it going on. I'm all like, what is going on here? That's funny. Because Process Street just does the confetti.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
You know, but they kicked it up a notch to the magical narwhal, you know. All right, so let's skim what we did in the last show. Here, we're really sort of helping businesses get ready for the holiday season. I know you're probably thinking, oh, the holiday season, like we covered last time, I'm pissed off that I see Christmas decorations coming out in July or whatever, and everybody has their personal opinion about when Christmas needs to come out and so on and so forth. If you run a business, your opinion doesn't matter. Your personal opinion, save that for personal conversations. When it comes to your business, you need to be prepared. So what we're talking about here is not about getting your Christmas decorations up and decking the balls with holly.
Bells.
I think it's halls with...
I don't know. I guess. I've never heard this on the song. Yeah.
Yeah, well, we're not there yet.
Okay.
Soon it'll be all over the radio and it's all you get. But what we're talking about is being prepared for that season for when your business starts it. You know, you can relieve yourself of a lot of stress by getting this stuff done in the beginning so that you can sort of go through the holiday season by running your business mm-hmm. like you normally would.
Yeah.
So there's some prep stuff to get out of the way. Last week, we covered, just two topics.
Mm-hmm.
We covered analyze past data and establish a baseline. You do this by getting analytics on your site. If you already have analytics on your site, that's great. You can look at some data from last year and see what you can expect this year. Expect it to grow because no matter what, it's going to grow a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is kind of a little cheater thing by SEOs. They go, oh, look, man, your traffic's up from last year. But, of course, your traffic's up from last year because people are exponentially going to the Internet mm-hmm. more. You know, so we have to expect that your traffic will be up a bit. So, yeah. And so in analyzing your past data, you got to get analytics on your site. It's not hard to do. Chances are you can figure it out yourself. But if you can't figure it out yourself, you can always call us at Cloud Potential. You could contact your marketing guy. Even if you got your son or your friend's kid who's in college, he or she should be able to do this. You know, this is not a difficult thing to do. The difficult thing that comes from analytics is down the road really sort of analyzing the data in depth and navigating analytics.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't get to that step unless you get it in there.
Yeah, so, nothing's worse than having no data at all.
Right.
So better just to get it started, even if you're not quite ready to read and analyze.
Right.
Just fired up.
That's like me saying I'm going to learn to be a carpenter just by reading a book, and then later I'm going to get the wood and the nails and the hammer, and we're going to make this happen.
Yeah.
You have to have it all at once. So you get the analytics in there. Then you can figure out using the analytics. And there's really four or five metrics in there. You can bookmark them that any business owner needs to know. Of course, there are millions of opportunities mm-hmm. to find other data. But on a beginner's level, there's really only four or five things in there that you really need to know. So get that into your site. The other thing we covered last week was optimize for mobile. You know, we have listeners around the world, but we really come out of Redding, California. And Redding, California itself is not super technologically forward when it comes to a lot of this stuff. So you might be looking at this stuff thinking, well, I don't need that, and I don't need this, and I don't need that. But you do. You just do. Because we're looking at because Reading has taken a little longer to get there, that means it's going to hit all the harder and all the faster as it's happening, which is now. So you need to be ready to optimize your site for mobile. Most of you, if you've had your website built in the last 2 years, it probably is mobile responsive. I don't know about your page speed, but it's probably mm-hmm. mobile responsive.
And Google thinks this is such an important thing. They've created a tool. It's the mobile testing tool, which they have online now. You can use it with your website today.
Yeah.
Just Google mobile testing tool, and it'll probably be the first thing that comes up.
Right.
You pop your URL in, and Google runs a test to make sure your site is mobile friendly.
Right. And also, it was about a year ago, maybe a little bit less. So up until then, Google was running two search algorithms, one for desktop and one for mobile. And about a year ago, they switched it all over to mobile. So even off your desktop, it's running off of just one algorithm that is picking up for mobile.
And if you haven't been convinced already, all these things that Google is doing, spending all this money, they're doing it because they really care about having every website ready for mobile.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Because that is the future, you know.
Yeah.
Your desktop is, I think like I was saying the other week, you know, my wife pays bills on the desktop and that's it. And she does that to change her mindset. She could do it from her tablet. She does everything else from her tablet, mm-hmm. shopping and everything else. But she just goes to the desk to pay bills to change her mindset. All right, you're listening to the Being Found Show. When we come back, we're going to get new and exciting with streamlining the checkout process. That may not sound exciting, but you're going to be amazed how many people drop you when they don't like your checkout process. Come on back to the Being Found Show.
Summer, summer, summer. It's like a merry-go-round. ACNR 1460, your town hall of the Shasta County Airwaves with news and talk that matters to our community. Weekdays 9 to noon, The Laura Ingram Show, your healthy radio addiction. Dave Ramsey from noon to 3, celebrating 25 years of answering life's tough money questions. And 3 to 6, Drive Home with Mark Levin, one of America's most popular conservative commentators and constitutional expert. KCNR 1460 with you throughout the day on your radio or streaming live. Miss a day, miss a lot.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Redding Yellow Cab. At Redding Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Redding Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Redding Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, the host of the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep this conversation going.
Hey, you getting hungry?
Yeah, hungry as a bear.
Oh, yes, the eternal question. What's for lunch?
Fast food?
Nah, I want something that didn't come in a bag.
Someplace fancy.
No, I want a place that has a down-home atmosphere, serves good portions, and has consistently good food.
My friend, you just described Black Bear Diner. They started just up the road in Mount Shasta. They have carried that feeling of home-cooked meals at a great price to more than 100 locations.
They're on Hilltop Drive in Reading. What's that?
It's time to feed the inner bear.
Black Bear Diner.
Up to the platform of surrender. I was brought, but I was kind.
All right, welcome back to the Being Found Show. We're going to talk about streamlining the checkout process, you know. And for those of you that aren't selling things online, you know, a lot of these attitudes can be applied to your contact form conversion or even making a phone call. Basically, when somebody comes to your site, they expect things to move quickly and smoothly, and there are a lot of people out there, chances are a lot of business owners understand, even though they deal with online, they get very, very frustrated with the internet and are more than happy to throw up their hands and walk away.
Yeah.
You know, if we lived in a world where online purchasing was just super easy, very cheap, and fast, chances are all brick and mortar would close, you know, which is maybe a scary thought for the future. I don't know. Once again, we're not here necessarily to talk about the future or what we think should happen. We're talking about a successful business today. And in order to have a successful business today, you need to streamline your checkout process. Now, of course, this is something that should be done year-round. I don't know if it's really fair to include it in this holiday thing, although, I mean, so should mobile responsiveness, so should a lot of things, but these are things that seeing how the return is so high through the holidays, you really need to have this done or you're going to be missing out on the big bucks. That's why some guys make the big bucks, man.
Yeah.
So, let's see. We got ourselves a statistic here to talk about. 28% of U.S. online shoppers have abandoned an order in the past quarter solely due to a too long, complicated checkout process. That might be confusing for some people who are listening, but basically too long of a checkout process could mean a lot of things. It could mean that your page loads slowly, that they're collecting too much information, that they can't really navigate it, they can't figure it out, that it's not obvious where the information goes in. You know, this is a big sort of bag of snakes as far as the statistic is concerned, because there's a lot of things that might have gone into this, you know. But I assume that if something's too complicated for you, you're just out. I do it too. I'm incredibly impatient, and my entire family will vouch for that. I am the world's most impatient man, and if I'm frustrated with that thing, I'm out.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm even a technological guy, and I'm out.
Yeah, and it's almost like when you kind of begin shopping, you have an expectation of whatever it is you're buying and how complicated it ought to be.
Mm-hmm.
If you're buying a pair of shoes, you expect, you know, you put in your credit card number, your name, the CVC code on the back, and the date. That's it. That's right. All you really want to do. And I think a lot of people are trying to move in that direction of a very frictionless, as few fields as possible, make it easy as possible kind of checkout experience.
Right, exactly. And the shoes is a great example, because the only thing that should be complicated about buying shoes is figuring out the stupid sizing chart.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, once you got that figured out, you put in your size, you put in your color, you put in the shoe, you pay for it, you're out. But is it ever really like that? No.
No.
You know, and, you know, a lot of people try to upsell you, and that becomes confusing. You know, GoDaddy is a prime example for me for this. I'm always, like, going to buy a domain, and I'm all, oh, I'm going to buy that domain, and it automatically has it. It's all $10.99. I'm all, sweet, $10.99, I'll do it. It's, like, late at night, you know.
Yeah.
I have a lot of impulse domain buys, you know. And, like...
Chauncey's the best.com.
Yeah. I do have ChauncyHallward.com. So I put it in the cart, and then all of a sudden... It automatically does me for 5 years with some sort of security, and tries to add on hosting, and the continue to the card is like hidden over on the side. They're trying to sort of trick me into making that purchase. And if I was a noob, I really might end up spending $100 when I went in to spend 10.
Yeah.
You know, and I find it to be very tricky, and frankly, I find it to be a little unethical.
Yeah, so you ought to be just really upfront, really clear,
right,
with your checkout process.
Yeah, I agree.
I feel like this is a great time to interject. There's a lot of great programs out there that have pre-built checkout processes that are non-complicated. The one I'm thinking of right now is Shopify.
Yeah.
You know, what Shopify is it's a website building program.
Mm-hmm.
And it was designed to sell products online. So, you know, they do a very good job of making that process very streamlined. You pay for it, but it's a great program and worth exploring if you're selling products online.
Right, yeah. And you're right that you pay for it. It's a little more expensive.
Yeah.
And then somebody who's working your site for you, I find WooCommerce's checkout process to be very easy, although working the program might be a little bit complicated. You know, they really haven't created an online product selling platform that's hugely easy for the owner.
Yeah.
You know, when putting in those products and organizing those products, it can still be a little daunting.
Yeah, it is cumbersome.
But anybody who sells products online knows that. And Shopify actually will pump out to other you once again, you got to pay for it, but it'll pump out to eBay and Amazon and Google.
Yeah,
Google
connects
Shopping
to a lot of programs. Yeah.
All right, make checkout mobile friendly, just like we talked about. 88% of smartphone shoppers have a negative experience when using their phones for mobile shopping. Their pain points are difficult navigation, 51%, tiny product images, 46%, and inconvenient checkout process, 26%. That last one, of course, we just talked about. Mm-hmm. And if it's difficult on the desktop to navigate, of course it is even more difficult on your phone.
Interesting about tiny product images.
Yeah.
I mean, I just always expect that if you're browsing on your phone, you expect tiny product images, but I guess some people don't.
No, no. I definitely, when I'm styling a site, I try to blow that image out all the way because I know that's the first thing that I want to see. For one, they want to know where they're at. You know, they want to have clicked the button and say, okay, I'm on this doodad, and obviously I am there because it's got the title real big and then the picture real big, so I know I'm in the right place. And then also, I'm sure it's good sales conversion as long as you take good pictures. You know?
Yeah.
What was that first one on here? Difficult navigation. Yeah, that's a tough one on the phone, too. A lot of people haven't, a lot of people get weirded out by the hamburger.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what to call this. There's the three lines that open up the menu for you. Our little industry joke term that we call it is the hamburger.
Mm-hmm.
And once you're aware it's there, it's maybe a little easier to navigate. But
and people are learning. You know, I mean, it's almost like one of those things that people just have to get used to. You see the three lines, you know it opens the menu.
Right. But I bet you another issue with the navigation is that back and navigating the checkout process, not only having your main navigation for the site, because during the checkout process, I mean, you don't want to, like, skip back out to the shoes. And if you do, how do you get back to your cart?
Right.
Because your little cart icon is hidden up there in the top.
Yeah.
What I tend to do is, like, if you have items in the cart, like, at the top of the page, like right beneath the header, I'll put like a big green bar that says you have this in your cart. Mm-hmm. And if you click that whole green bar, it'll take you out there.
Yeah. Or the cart image, and it's got a little number by it showing you how many products are
there. But making sure that that's big because once you get down there, you know, you're looking at, you know, this always makes me think of my dad. My dad was technologically advanced for his time. But he was born in 1936. So right out of college, he was actually doing computer programming for the Rand Corporation because of his math skills. Mm-hmm. But he was also doing it on a punch card, you know. And so by the time my dad gets a cell phone, I don't know if he had, like, freaky sausage fingers or what. He seemed like a normal guy. But every time he called me, I knew it was him before anybody said anything because I heard a bunch of beeping. And then I heard him, like, clear his throat. So it'd be all, like, I'd answer the phone. I'd be all, hello. And it'd be all, beep, beep, beep. And then he'd, like, all be all, hello, you know. And, like, he just couldn't really sort of get down the motor skills to hit the buttons very well, you know? And so I understand that pain point, absolutely. So we got a minute or two till the break here. Another point is be generous with your payment options. The show's called The Being Found Show. Maybe it should be called The Be Available Show, because on top of being found, you need to help people with however they want to buy from
you.
You know. Now, I understand if you're just starting out and you're testing it out, you know, PayPal is a great way to go. It's something like 30 cents a transaction, 2.8%, you know, which is a reasonable price until you get up into higher sales and then you want to go with merchant services through your bank. But your bank is going to charge you maybe $150. And so if you're not losing $150 to PayPal, that's not a worthy payment to make.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're just getting online and trying it out, PayPal's a great way to do it. But I would pay the $20 to get PayPal Payments Pro, which allows you to take purchases on the site without somebody being kicked off. Because trust factor is still a big thing online. People are getting over it. They're getting used to stuff. But, you know, they want to trust you, and they want to know if they put their stuff into you and they get hacked and they got a problem that they can, that frankly, they have somebody to yell at, you know. And that's a big part of my issue with companies. I don't want to deal with somebody if I go to a website to make a purchase and there's not a phone number, I hesitate.
Yeah.
Because I want somebody to yell at if there's a problem. All right. So when we come back, we're going to talk more about streamlining the checkout process here on the Being Found Show.
Yeah. annual Reading East Rotary Ducky Derby is coming September 30th at Reading's Caldwell Park. Be a part of the Reading East Rotary's effort to keep our kids drug and alcohol free. First prize is a 16-sleeper houseboat vacation from Shasta Marina, valued at $2,700. Details on all the other amazing prizes, sponsor, or ticket information, go to readingduckyderby.com or call 225-8583. The 29th Annual Ducky Derby, September 30th in Caldwell Park. Get your tickets today. Brought to you by KCNR 1460 AM.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Are you aware there are at least 7 million in California who call themselves Christians? And of them, less than 15% will vote this coming election. If we are to survive the continuing moral decay of our California political leaders, every Christian must stand up, be counted, and vote. In order to return to godly moral values, Christians must vote according to the principles of the Bible. Regardless of your political party, please vote for candidates who believe in and live the values taught in the Word of God. If you are looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
I'm here with Mike of Estate Grant and Things. Hey, Mike, so I got to ask, what's with the and things?
And things is anything that we can make with granite and metal.
So you're saying it's going to last?
It's forever furniture.
Wow, did you come up with that one?
Absolutely. The and things are dining room tables, wine bistros, fire pit patio tables, and our ever-popular granite line roasters. Really, anything you can imagine inside or out.
You know, that store-bought stuff has to be replaced every few years. You know, it gets hot up here.
That's why we call it Forever Furniture. You can will it to your children.
Mike, with Estate Granite and Things, our builder of choice, thinking completely out of the box.
The first time I walked into my new kitchen, I was amazed. But after, I started to notice all the little things that make my kitchen unique. From the tile backsplash to the seams in the granite, everything was truly a work of art.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Estate Granite and Things, completely out of the box. Or visit us at estategranite.com.
Attention Marines and other military veterans and civilians as well. The Shasta Marines cordially invite you to the annual celebration of the Marine Corps birthday. This year, the celebration will take place on Saturday, November 10th at the Wind River Event Center. In keeping with tradition, we conduct a formal ceremony complete with a color guard, a pipe band, and the annual birthday message from the Commandant of the Marine Corps. In addition, we will have a guest speaker in the form of a retired Marine Colonel, who led a battalion in Iraq, served as an instructor at West Point, and assisted the federal government in intercepting illicit drug traffic. Tickets for the event are $35. For more information and to receive a formal invitation, contact Mike Gutierrez at 524-7595. We're sure you'll enjoy the celebration as it honors our illustrious Corps. That phone number again is 524-7595. Semper Fi, Marines.
All right, welcome back to the Being Found Show. We're talking about, streamlining your checkout process. The reason why I say I don't know is I'm collecting myself on my list. There's a whole huge list of stuff here that you can really sort of take into consideration. Yeah. Now, I realize that everything we talk about is like some daunting task. I mean, here we are talking for half an hour on streamlining your shopping cart, you know, and the most exciting thing that we said in the last segment was about whether or not my dad had freaky sausage fingers, right? You know, I don't expect somebody to to do all these things. What you got to do is just go make a purchase from yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're running through the list here. These are things just to have in your mind, and you really just have to take into consideration. So don't go out to your guy unless you're willing to spend some money and say, I want my checkout process absolutely perfect and optimized, and I want everything great, and I want it done now. Pick something.
Yeah.
Go through it and say, man, that's frustrating. Send your husband or your wife through it and have them tell you, man, that's frustrating. Take one of your kids and have them go through it because that's a different generation. You know, try to find a different generation. Try to find a different type of person, you know, and have them go through it and tell you what they find frustrating. If you find three matches, you know what to fix.
And if you're if you're shopping yourself online, look at those other stores. What makes them easy?
Absolutely. You know, which ones do you like to shop?
Yeah. And see if you can take a step in that direction.
Right. I always try to give business owners a break on this because most business owners are really working 24/7 and they're not really consumers. They're not really online consumers. Their family tends to be consumers, but they tend to not be. And when they are consumers, it tends to be in a more B2B environment, you know, and, so I definitely say, you know, like you're saying, you know, be aware when you're making those purchases as to what's great and what's not. But definitely go out there and get somebody who is a consumer, mm-hmm. somebody who basically shops without that analytical mind that you're applying to it. Mm-hmm. You need somebody to just do it who basically says, yeah, this sucks. You know, they don't need to tell you why it sucks. You can figure out why it sucks after they tell you what their pain point is.
You also, you said something that I feel like we really need to mention in this show. If your company is B2B, don't think you can slack on this.
Oh, definitely.
I was reading, I think it was Google who did a study and found that B2B customers are as inclined to not go with a vendor because of a shoddy checkout process, because of a confusing website. You know, don't think that, you know, if you're not selling to B2C, that you get to have a bad, old-fashioned website or checkout process.
Right. And for those of you listening, B2C is business to consumer. Your average going to buy shoes, B2B is business to business. And you're totally right. I bet you one of the pain points is that if I'm doing B2B in my shopping, one is my time is valuable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and yeah. if this guy's holding me back, then I need to go over to this guy. Another one is probably you're spending other people's money, especially if you're not the owner, and you're spending other people's money, and you don't want a confusing checkout process because you're scared to hit that button. Because yeah. when you hit that button, and like you're just all what?
Yeah,
I'm on a weekly reoccurring payment plan, you know, that I didn't know about, and now I need to go to, you know, John over there in financial to get this shut off. You know, it's like, yep. You know, so make it crystal clear and make it out there.
Yep.
All right. So, we were just talking about being generous with payment options. Of course, there's a line with everything. You don't want it to be confusing. You don't want to stick on 12,000 payment options,
mm-hmm.
but you do want to have a couple of few so that people have options there. Don't require a membership or login. You can give them the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
You can even entice them a bit with like, hey, if you become a member so that we can market to you in the future, we'll give you 5% off your purchase
yeah.
or something like that. But don't make them become a member. Basically, when you make somebody become a member, you're making them put in more information. You're making it painfully aware to them that you are collecting their personal information.
Mm-hmm.
Now, entice them and say you're going to get those people who are really kind of aware that the entire internet collects your personal information anyway, and they're going to be, oh, great, I'll take the 5% off.
Yeah.
But you're going to lose those other people.
Yeah, I've done it myself. If I'm like, you know, I don't really want to get emails from this company,
mm-hmm.
I'll just buy it from someone else.
Yeah, and I don't think that's on the list, but always if you're creating a membership, man, include an opt-out from the emails, yeah. you know, or actually make them opt-in. I don't even like having that checkbox automatically checked. I find it shady. You know, I think let those people make the things, but also in the world of business, you got to do some business and you got to do some stuff. So maybe you make the checkbox.
I like it. I like the auto checkbox. I mean, you know, people
as
people
a consumer,
know
or as a marketer,
as a marketer.
Right. That's what
But as a consumer, if I don't want it, I unclick it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's there.
Right. It is there. All right. So, put security features everywhere and request only the necessary information. This kind of goes back to not being a membership or login.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm aware that security features, so as a marketer and an internet guy, maybe I need a more technical term, so I sound like as a, I don't know, what should my, an internetologist? As a marketing guy and an internetologist, I'm aware that I could put a ton of badges on my website that don't mean anything. But still they help.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, I am definitely what is called a white hat marketer. I don't do anything shady when it comes to marketing. I don't know. Maybe I do elsewhere. I don't know. Ethics out the window. But I'm not trying to trick anybody. So when I put these badges up, when I draw attention that we have an SSL, when I say that, you know, how a badge saying like PayPal secured and stuff like that, I make sure that we have those things. And those things really do help in conversion. I was actually kind of surprised that they did, because being an internetologist, I was aware that I could just put anything I want up there.
Yeah.
You know, I could have it say, you know, and we, you know, your information will be automatically shredded in the global internet shredder that's been released by supershred.com.
I find that really interesting, too. I would not have expected that would have a huge impact on whether or not people bought.
Yeah.
But then again, I mean, I never shopped in the internet's infancy.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe if someone had, when it was the Wild West,
right? Yeah,
maybe they still have that fear that every time you put your credit card into a field,
good point. I don't have this. I didn't make a note of the statistic. You know, it'd be interesting to see.
Yeah.
You know, what age brackets we're dealing with that are affected by that. But free shipping. A 2016 survey retail study: 9 out of 10 consumers say free shipping is the number one incentive to shop online more.
I believe it.
I totally believe it. You know,
Amazon has set the standard, and if you are not meeting it, they'll go there.
Yeah, absolutely. If nothing else, the logic is there that I'm going to pay $10 at my local store for a doodad, or I'm going to pay $10 online for a doodad plus shipping.
Yeah.
So I might as well just pick it up in my local store while I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, getting rid of that shipping. Now I realize with certain products, I work with a company out of Vancouver, Washington, that like sells like float tubes and tents and stuff like that. I mean, you know, some of these big, big, heavy items, they're expensive.
Yeah.
But you also might consider including shipping in the cost of the item.
Yeah. And then advertising free shipping.
Right.
Which is, again, that incentive.
Right. You know, and if that sounds shady to you, it's not. We're basically just letting people know that when we say $10, we mean $10.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and everything included in $10 or however many dollars there is. So, here's a couple of just quick statistics before we go to break here. Extra cost too high, shipping tax and fees, 60% of people drop. The site wanted me to create an account, 37% of people drop. Too long, complicated checkout process, 28 drop. I couldn't see calculate total order cost up front there. We were just talking about that, 23% drop. Website had errors or crashed, 20% drop. I think that would be more like 80 for me. I don't trust the site with my credit card information, 19%. Delivery was too slow, 18%. Mm. Return policy wasn't satisfactory, 11%. There wasn't enough payment methods, 8%. And the credit card was declined.
Mm.
So, just make it easy for people.
Yep. Extra cost too high, shipping, tax fees, 60%. That is so huge.
All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about what's up with Google and China here on the Being Found Show.
Stargate Theater presents Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Graham Nash. Graham Nash has penned and performed some of the most iconic songs of the past 50 years, from the Hollies, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, to his own solo career. Nash's songs are legendary. Graham Nash at the Cascade Theater with an intimate evening of stories and songs October 3rd. Get tickets before they're all sold out at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you can use. Hi, it's Bob Belongi. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at boomertechradio.com, and the show is streamed live at kcnr1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trends. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR 1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes.
I'm Don Burton. I'm here with Bruce Blake, owner of Powerhouse Solar.
And Sue Blake.
We're at the beautiful Cottonwood Community Library, where you just finished up a job. They have solar now. What's it mean to them?
Well, Don, this compact 6-kilowatt system will offset the Cottonwood Community Library's entire electric bill. This is due to the efficient design and the quality of the SunPower panels, which are rated as the best solar panels on the market.
And the all-black panels present a beautifully clean look on their roof.
The SunPower panels can also be installed as a ground rack or a pole mount system.
How do you know which type of system is best for you?
Visit our showroom and design center today at 4616 Caterpillar Road in Reading,
where one of our solar design experts will sit down with you and present all of the available options and design a system specific to your energy needs.
And Powerhouse Solar can save you money on your home as well. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600.
And let us get the power of the sun working for your home or business.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Out here!
Back to the Being Found show. We were just covering basically optimizing your checkout process to get ready for the holidays. And that took up a good percentage of our show. So mm-hmm. We're going to hit a little bit of news here at the end. You know, there's a lot of political views that can come out of this, and frankly, I don't really care what they are. We just kind of want to cover what's actually going on with Google, because here we are so incredibly dependent on this company, you know, and, you know, it's all over in the news. Should it be broken up? Should it be split up? You know, and is it a monopoly? And it's hard to define a company as being a monopoly when they're all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
That's like saying Disney is a monopoly or Coca-Cola that has their finger. I mean, are they a monopoly on chips or are they a monopoly on soda?
Or you water.
Know, or water, right. You know, so Google is like literally all over the place, and they are not a monopoly on search. They do have a competitor in Bing and a competitor that is rising. While it's only maybe 20% at best, it is growing in its popularity.
Yeah.
So sure. I don't know if it counts as a monopoly, but – So we're going to let Jake explain this to me a little bit better because I think he has a better understanding. But so Google has partnered with the government in China to create a search engine for China.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess to be clear, I don't want to sound like a weirdo here. I'm on my Chrome OS device here on my Chrome laptop. I think they're a great company. They've done great things over the last 20 years.
Yeah.
And I think they're making a huge mistake right now. They have partnered with the government of China on this project to create a new search engine for China. It's called Project Dragonfly, which they always choose good names.
Yeah, name's great.
Yeah. But what this search engine is doing is it connects every person's searches to some piece of personal information so that when they search, they have to enter their personal information, and then they get to search, which is terrible because the government is linking every search to an individual, and to make things a little bit worse, they've got these social scorecards.
Well, hang on.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Before we get into how freaky some of this stuff is, you know, one big thing that that a lot of Americans are going to scoff at a little bit is that the government has access to deny any search results from this thing, right? The government can basically say that information doesn't get to be shown.
Yeah, I guess I should. Yeah, that's definitely another piece of it is let's say Chauncey started the website freakysausagefingers.com and the U.S. government said, you know, no. We do not like this website. Shut it down.
Right.
And stop everyone in the country from ever reaching that site again.
Right. So regardless of what side of net neutrality you're on, this has nothing to do with that. This is like straight up government censorship of what we're going to allow.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this not only allows the government to censor information, which we would be all weirded out about, but it also allows the government to manipulate their markets by denying businesses, basically by denying businesses from out of the country.
Oh, yeah.
And all sorts of crazy stuff that comes from controlling information.
Absolutely. It would be a total control of information. I mean, consider a website, say, in America. You have the right to make a website that talks bad about the U.S. government.
Right.
And exactly. That's a right you have. Well, in China, if you were to do that, the government would shut your website down.
And you'd probably never be heard from again.
Yeah, they'd shoot you behind the chemical shed.
Right, right. So the second freaky part about this is what you're saying is that in order to use it, you have to enter your personal information.
Mm-hmm.
All of your search history is collected, and they know exactly what you're up to.
That's right.
And then the scorecard thing.
Yeah,
what's that?
It's called a social scorecard is what they're calling it. And essentially, the government puts you on a list, and they say, what are you, a 1 or a 10? You know, and if you're a 10, hey, you're the perfect Chinese citizen, you're doing great, you look up only good websites, you obviously love your government, and you're a contributing member of society. If your social scorecard gets too low, someone might pay you a visit.
Yeah.
Say, hey, I think you need to...
Right. Stop
to
searching
reconsider,
that stuff.
Yeah,
right.
What you're searching online, or you'll get a black bag put over your head. And,
right. Yeah, whenever I think of that, I think of this movie, Brazil. Have you ever seen Brazil?
I haven't.
Where they actually come in and like, zip him up in the bag and, like, cinch him all shut and, like, stick a piece of paperwork on him and hand his wife the receipt and then drag him out, you know?
So far, all the references I'm making are from V for Vendetta.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Black bagging and shooting you behind the chemical shed
is what they
do.
I haven't seen that movie in a long time. Oh. But we were just talking about it the other day that I want to see it again. So, yeah, this is literally... And like I said, politics out of this. This is like crazy town for the United States. For people here to be imposed with these sorts of, this is like, well, it's, I think it's almost entirely an episode of Black Mirror.
Mm.
Only it's going on. It's actually going on.
Yeah, and I guess to kind of bring it back to what we talk about here, the technology. So this is Google who has agreed to create this, an American company.
Right.
Who's agreed to create this for what is arguably a, well, not arguably, they're just not a great government. They attempt to control everything about their people. So, that's really all there is to it. So I think Google kind of screwed up here. They've always been a great company, but they're really messing up.
There's been a big uprising with their with their employees. Hopefully.
Internally, there has been a lot of issues, people refusing to work on it, people trying to kind of whistleblow about the whole thing.
Right. Yeah. And then just to make it extra fun, didn't Google change their slogan?
They did, and I don't know if they did this on purpose or if it was just by accident. So for the last 20 years, since their inception, their slogan has always been, don't be evil.
Right.
Which is a great slogan for someone who controls so much information.
Right.
By happenstance or on purpose, they changed their slogan during this whole creation of this Chinese search engine to Google values.
Right.
I guess don't be evil just didn't fit in with a new plan. So.
Right. Right. And there's a lot of ambiguity with Google values. Does that mean Google values you, or does that mean that we follow Google's values?
Or yeah, Google values whatever they are.
Right. Exactly. You know, whatever fits in the moment, yeah. I guess. So, you know, just like with any big business, you know, maybe they do some good and maybe they do some bad. I don't know, but I agree with you that this is probably not in the best interest of any U.S. company. And I'm surprised it's not more in the news. I'm surprised it's not blowing out the news.
You know? Yeah, me too. It's. I mean, maybe they just haven't caught wind of it, or I mean, I don't know. It's hard to say.
I don't expect you to know everything about this here, but do you know how far along in the process we are? Is it something that they maybe might back out of, or I mean, are we definitely there?
I don't know. So from what I understand, it's in testing, like maybe beta right now.
I see. So, yeah. So they've invested enough money in it to follow through.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Tell me that's not freaky. Freaky, you know, I don't know. I'm a science fiction fan, so I love all this stuff. But. All right, you've been listening to The Being Found Show, so come back next week. We're going to help you through the holidays a little more, introduce special holiday promotions and other things like that. Being Found Show, it's your favorite. Check us out next week. Can't cancel the free show. Steal your heart away.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The chief of NATO's military committee, Sir Stuart Peach, says NATO members need to ensure their forces are ready for potential conflicts.
NATO's readiness initiative will ensure that more high-quality combat-capable national forces are made available to NATO. This will further enhance the alliance's rapid response capability, either for reinforcement of allies, in support of deterrence, or collective defense.
Sir Stuart Peach addressing a NATO gathering today in Warsaw, Poland. President Trump has given approval to a Senate Judiciary Committee request to open a supplemental background investigation of his Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh, who is facing accusations of sexual assault from almost 40 years ago. Earlier yesterday, it was Republican Senator Jeff Flake of Arizona floating the idea, saying it could bring some unity.
This country's being ripped apart here, and we've got to make sure that we do due diligence. I think this committee has done a good job. But I do think that we can have a short pause and make sure that the FBI can investigate.
A federal judge in Washington has ruled that a group of nearly 200 members of Congress can sue President Trump over his alleged acceptance of payments from foreign and domestic entities. Speaking at the United Nations on Friday, the Chinese foreign minister, Hua Yang, said that through an interpreter, that China does support the Iran nuclear deal.
If the agreement fails to be implemented, the international nonproliferation regime will be undermined, the authority and role of Security Council challenged, and peace and stability in both this region and the wider world jeopardized.
Days after President Trump denounced some of the tenets of globalism at the UN, China positioned itself on Friday as a champion of multilateralism that is keeping international promises. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Are your credit cards maxed out? Do you owe more than $10,000? Are you juggling your bills only making minimum payments? Credit card companies are playing a dirty trick on you. They want you to think you must pay it all back, and that's simply not true. Credit card companies hate it when we expose their secrets. In fact, there are ways you can become debt-free, and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. National Debt Relief offers programs that help you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $1 billion of debt. National Debt Relief has earned an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. They're also the number one rated debt relief program by top consumer reviews and top 10 reviews. Don't declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. Settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Call National Debt Relief now at 800-645-1660. 800-645-1660. 800-645-1660.
Google's CEO sent to meet with President Trump at a White House roundtable about Internet issues.
The White House asked Sundar Pichai to attend the roundtable after meeting Friday with Larry Kudlow, the head of the National Economic Council. Pichai also met with U.S. lawmakers to discuss Google's business practices. Further details about the roundtable's date agenda and other attendees are expected to be released at a later date. Trump has recently accused Google of rigging the results of its influential search engine to suppress conservative viewpoints. Google has denied any political bias. The White House described Kudlow's Friday meeting with Pichai as positive and productive. Keith Peters reporting.
Hundreds of Palestinians today attended the funeral of an 11-year-old Palestinian boy, apparently the youngest, killed by Israeli fire in 6 months of protests along Gaza's perimeter fence. Those protests began in March and recently accelerated. Israel says Palestinians are using those protests to launch attacks. More from townhall.com. A word from Dr. Charles Snyder, but on why the influenza vaccination is so important this time of year.
U.S. Surgeon General Jerome Adams reminds us that last year's influenza was particularly lethal. Influenza contributed to the death of 80,000 Americans last year. It's particularly important for children, seniors, pregnant women, and anyone with heart or lung disease to get immunized as soon as possible. Ample vaccine is available now. This is Dr. Charles Snyder in Washington.
Wrecked buildings, damaged roads, and broken communications among the obstacles now facing rescue teams trying to help people who've been harmed by the tsunami that followed on the heels of a major earthquake yesterday in Indonesia. The National Disaster Agency says 384 people were killed in the hard-hit city of Palu alone Officials say many people were taking part in a beach festival when the tsunami struck on the heels of a powerful earthquake. More details on these stories can be found at townhall.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland, your favorite show about the paranormal, the conspiracies, Bigfoot, or Big Feet, as the professionals call them, UFOs, the government, and, of course, me, your host, Chauncey, and this, my co-host, Sean. Sean, how are you doing?
Good. I like how you toss in the government there. Like, there are some people who tell that mankind is controlled by a force called the government.
It is. You know, there was a time that that wasn't the case, but now just about every aspect of the government is a conspiracy, you know. This Kavanaugh case right now in the news is a prime example where we're looking at the Democrats obviously trying to postpone it until after the elections, and the Republicans obviously trying to push it through before the election. Now, as far as all the other stuff, I'm not going to include that because, you know, we got to let that figure out. But up until now, you know, that's obviously been what it was, is some sort of conspiracy move on both parts to try to push it through or to hold it back, you know?
Right, yeah. I mean, our government is controlled by factions that want different things and don't usually play by the rules. So,
right.
I mean,
but do they really want different things?
Yeah, I would say generally, even though I think in many cases those different things are, we want this group of rich people to get richer instead of this group of rich people.
I see. different means to the same
that's
end.
That's kind of different sometimes, but, you know,
right.
Slightly different billionaires are benefiting.
Right. Oh, God, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
So our guest tonight is a friend we've had on the show many times, William Pullen. Yeah. And part of our topic that we're going to talk about is sort of the state of the UFO community and sort of the infighting and the different views of the UFO community and really how it can all be pulled together. And really that sort of mirrors this world that we live in, definitely, obviously, on a political level, this world of two factions that we're talking about, two factions that have done a great job at recruiting the masses to either of their sides. But also, you know, it kind of made me think about manners in general and human evolution. You know, my wife today was picking up food from Taco Bell for the kids, and she ordered a Nachos Bel Grande. And she gets the receipt, and there was like a big chicken griller on there or something. And she's just all, I didn't order the big chicken griller. And he's just all, oh, yeah, you ordered that. And she's just all, I don't know what a chicken griller is. Like, I certainly did not order it. And he's
by that guy.
You're right. And she's just all, oh, and the guy finally says to her, yeah, well, okay, I'll switch it to what you thought you ordered. Like, he actually says this to her. And so, you know, this kind
that
of...
That is a lot of confidence for a man in a minimum wage job, I'll give him that.
I agree, you know, and but we live in this world where do you think that... Because before it used to be that manners made the man, do you think that technology... Now, there's a lot of old people that are going to shake their head yes to this one. Do you think technology has done away with manners and people's abilities...
People were never polite. People have always sucked. You know, crack open a book from any time period. You know, the best you can say from the past is people were mean and florid prose.
Right,
you know?
Yeah, I guess.
Letters from Hamilton to Burr or whatever, but one of them ended up shooting the other guy, so is that really nicer?
Well, I don't know. You wrap it up in enough purple prose and rhetoric, maybe it is.
Yeah, I don't know. Manners are just how you show respect in a given time period, but people have always kind of been trash, so.
Right, that's true, but, I mean, you're looking at this, like, black and white, and, you know, there's always an argument on the other side where people say, well, what about this guy? You know, but statistically, are people worse than they were? Like, I understand that they used to be. Maybe 60% of them were, and 80% are now, or maybe 50% are now, you know. Are we getting less diplomatic in our communications, is what I'm wondering.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. If you look at the past, if you look at, you know, it depends on what time period you're talking about here. But if you choose, I don't know, let's say any time before, like, 1950, 1960, that seems like a reasonable period to choose to represent the past.
Okay.
That the people who you're talking about who are going to be standard bearers for politeness are going to be part of some elite class or whatever.
Are you talking about white people? Are you talking about white men?
Basically, yeah, because it's stratified by race. So it's like, sure, white Anglo-Saxon Protestants maybe were held to a different standard, but that's only because of this weird Teutonic thing where they, you know, they had all this privilege to maybe go with that responsibility. Maybe people's roles in life were a little more stratified, and so, you know.
Yeah, but I don't know. At the same time, I realize you're not trying to communicate that the people who weren't, that women and black people and other minorities weren't living up to some standard of politeness. I know you're not trying to say that.
No, of course not.
You know.
My point is the standard was artificial to begin with because it was a status symbol. That's
right, I see. Yeah, so niceness.
So now you've done away with that standard. Well, frankly, that's probably good because it's just like, you know, doing away with calling people who are landowners sir or whatever.
That's
you know,
a good
they're
point.
They're not knights anymore. They don't wear shining armor. But good, because they shouldn't. They don't need to.
Right. So you're basically saying that nice and manners are not synonymous.
Well, absolutely not. I mean, I don't see how you'd even argue that.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people in older generations, that seems to be what they're arguing. You know, it's like, they're always like, you know, if you said yes, ma'am, like this on Facebook, you know, I mean, there's a lot of that going on.
Yeah, I think that's ridiculous. I think the two are hardly even correlated and basically never were.
Right.
But that's just me, you know.
I do have to say that I've noticed that...
Okay, severe absence of facts here. This is an issue I've never considered, and since this is talk radio, I'm just throwing my opinions into the ether, so...
Of course.
You know, I hope they happen to be correct. Not like I've ever looked into this topic.
No, I'm just waxing poetic and thinking about it, you know? I do have to say that 9 out of 10 times when a door slammed in my face and somebody didn't hold it for me, it's a dude around 20 years old.
Yeah, that seems reasonable. Yeah. But, you know, they're probably really nice about other things. They probably recycle. They probably care about the environment.
I love it, man. Even Jared laughed, but they probably recycle.
Yeah, you know, they probably do.
Yeah, that's funny. Okay, yeah, and don't get me wrong. I don't think that they're being, I think they're being oblivious, you know. They're not being rude in any sort of malicious intent kind of way, you know. But
yeah.
Who knows? Maybe they
are. Well, they're not holding themselves to the same standard.
Maybe that's where the true conspiracy lies. All right, we got 1 minute up until our first break, and then when we come back...
Well, because they don't care anymore.
All right, when we come back, we got our guest, William Pullen, from UFO Real, UFO apostrophe real, the UFO group, and we're going to be talking about the state of the UFO community. You are listening to Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
Well, it came out of the sky and it dropped a little south of Moline. Joey fell out of his tracks. I couldn't believe what he'd seen. When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is the place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, the host of the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west, of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep this conversation going.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
If you're looking into a remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio, there's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite and Things.
This is Carl Bott. Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days while Linda and I went on vacation. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard, Estate Granite and Things, or visit us at estategranite.com.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004. But our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
The Army Air Forces has announced that a flying disc has been found and is now in the possession of the Army. Army officers say the missile, found sometime last week, has been inspected at Roswell, New Mexico, and sent to Wright Field, Ohio, for further
inspection. All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, William Pullen. We got you there with us, William?
Yes, I'm here. Thanks, gentlemen.
No problem. Haven't heard from your voice in quite some time.
It's been 10 years at least.
Right, right. Well, I guess maybe in the world of radio interviews, it probably hasn't been that long.
No, not really, no. How are you gentlemen doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Sean, good. Are you able to be in there with us? Sean's calling in as well.
I don't know. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. There we go.
Yes, sir.
Yes. So I am all...
All right, so, William, our topic tonight is really kind of covering the state of the UFO community, what's going on with it, you know, how we can make it better. You know, first off, I guess let's cover, like, you know, what do we really think it's doing wrong? How do we think it's sabotaging itself?
But too much random speculation is believed by the general public without any kind of critical thought. People see a video on YouTube, they see a story written on the internet, they see a story broadcast on some media outlet, and they don't do their homework to see if the information was legitimate.
Okay.
They buy a book at the bookstore and, you know.
The last three sentences you just said apply perfectly to so many things beyond just UFOs.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Yeah, that's a true statement, yeah.
Well, I think that, you know, in this day and age where everybody is connected to their phones, you know, I was watching this interview with Elon Musk by Joe Rogan, and he was basically talking about AIs and how we're kind of cyborgs now with our phones, and it makes us more intelligent. The real issue is bandwidth of getting that information into our head and how quickly it happens. You know, so everybody just seems to be processing stuff so quick, you know. That seems to be a big part of the problem. And then the flip side is people seem to find their identities through this. In the case of politics, you know, they're finding their identities. Or in the case of UFOs, there's this massive influx of, like, spirituality that's become blended with UFOs. And so it's like, yeah, there is a lot of just rash decisions because they're based on feelings instead of facts. You know, do we maybe need to separate those two somehow?
I couldn't agree with that statement more. Yeah, there's a vast gap between belief-based systems and evidence-based systems. Belief-based seems to be more prevalent nowadays because people have instant gratification. They can look anything up on the internet and they get an answer from Google in 2 seconds. Evidence-based means someone's taking the time to actually vet the information, do their homework, and make up their own mind instead of rashly deciding this is acceptable and just going with it. And you're right, this scenario, it goes much beyond just UFOs. It transcends all our lives in every facet, so, you know.
Yeah, because I definitely see the separation in this country as not so much politics as everybody would like to think. I've had to analyze my own belief systems and really sort of say, am I latching on to a tribe, or is this really what I believe? And when I look at the side that I believe in, I definitely adhere to a side. But even when I look at the side that I believe in, I look at it and go, you know, I really believe in about 50% of this. You know, I don't like back everything in my tribe, you know, and it's really kind of ridiculous. But I think so many people just kind of go through without thinking. I ask my wife this on a regular basis. Am I giving people too much credit for thought? Are people less intelligent than I think they are? I know it's kind of a hateful question, but I mean, I'm curious.
No, I think it's a legitimate question. No, any position you take, whether it's UFOs or politics or religion, what have you, there are individuals that will simply adhere to all the beliefs of that position. A cautious individual might take some of those positions to heart, but not all of them, and they're not pigeonholed in that position. In the UFO field, everyone has their own positions, but not very few individuals are ready to defend their positions. They really don't know what their angle is, what their theory they believe in. They just kind of grab onto one that they think is cool or seems logical to them, if we're even using logic, and they grab onto it and they latch onto it and they defend it to the death, pretty much, without really knowing the ins and outs of what that stance entails. It's very problematic when you try to look at something like UFOs. But again, this is another scenario that it transcends everything, our entire lives. So it's more of a general statement about society, I guess.
Yeah, I'm sure Sean is our resident sociology guy, in my opinion. What do you think, Sean? Do you think?
Oh, yeah.
What do you think on this one?
Well, I mean, we're talking about people latching on to, you know. I think you can see this the most clearly in politics. Obviously, you know, you get someone who, you know, is Democratic, for example, on a couple of issues, and therefore takes it upon themselves to adopt all the platforms in the Democratic Party, for example.
Mm-hmm.
it's a little less clear when you're talking about something like UFOs where, you know, you're just not working with as much stuff in terms of the facts that you have available
to
you. Yeah. And frankly, the most reasonable positions you can come to are usually some, in terms of UFOs, are usually some form of I don't know. And that's just not very emotionally satisfying for people, is it? Which I, you know, what is the practical value for the average person of caring about UFOs? Well, for the average person, it's an optional. They just want to confirm their theory about the world. So, yeah, I guess I'm not really surprised to not see very much critical thinking from a lot of people.
Right, yeah, I just had the realization that due to the internet, the scene probably has found a larger market, and that before it was probably just drew in those analytical types, but now, due to exactly. marketing, it can be targeted at all sorts of different people. And I'm really kind of amazed at the growth in this spiritual UFO aspect, to the point where types of Christianity and New Age religions and stuff are pulling this in as part of their religion, and these star visitors, and like we're all, you know, hybrids, and everybody's got this stuff figured out. It really sort of clogs up the science.
It does. It muddies the waters to a great degree. Yeah, it's belief based systems have really almost taken over the field in the last 10-15 years.
So do you find
they, you know.
Do you find in your group, William, that you're getting more and more people who follow this, and then they find that they're in a group that maybe they don't belong in?
No, I've always had members that have that point of view, and I encourage all points of view in my group, but I always try to pose questions to make them think. So I guess, for lack of a better term, I ask them, well, if that's your position, and I respect your position, how did you arrive at that position? I'm kind of softly asking them to defend their position. And usually they get stumped. Usually they just don't know really why they've arrived at that position, which I found very interesting in and of itself.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'd be willing to bet that it's not usually a clear division. Like, this person is very analytical and this person is just speculating wildly. I'd imagine you've got plenty of people who are very good thinkers but are also emotionally attached to one position or another.
Yeah, it runs the gamut. Yeah, you've got analytical people, you've got spiritual people, you've got individuals at different points in between those two angles. Certainly, and I've experienced this firsthand, certainly there's a section of the community that simply asks questions to have their own position confirmed. I've had people come up and ask me, you know, what do I think about a certain case? And I tell them what I think. And if my opinion, and it's just an opinion because no one knows, if my opinion does not jive with what their thought process is, they seem to give me grief as if I was supposed to confirm their belief, and I'm not going to do that. It's a very interesting thought process nowadays around the UFO community. I don't know why it's arrived. Well, I don't know why we've arrived at this point, but that's where we're at, this spiritual, religious, somewhat speculative or very speculative approach to UFOs, as opposed to 50 years ago, it was nuts and bolts, spacecraft, little green men. It was much more scientific and grounded. Now it's not so much. Son.
Well, we're coming up on a break here, but my personal opinion on one reason why this is going on is that I think that we have just been so inundated with choice in our responsibility. So people have always had responsibility. You grow your food, you eat, or you die. You know, you work the land, you eat, or you die. You know, it's been very simple. And nowadays people have just massive amount of choice in front of them. And I think they take some of these higher questions and they just want to sort of file them away as answered so that they can go on with sort of juggling all of these little thoughts that people have to do in order to eat and not die, you know. It's a conspiracy I've talked with Sean about, where I think we're purposefully being spun around in a circle. All right, you're listening to William Pullen here on Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
is known throughout the academic world, the medical world, it is known throughout the Air Force, that the air intelligence has in its possession a spacecraft.
The annual Reading East Rotary Ducky Derby is coming September 30th at Reading's Codwell Park. Be a part of the Reading East Rotary's effort to keep our kids drug and alcohol free. First prize is a 16-sleeper houseboat vacation from Shasta Marina, valued at $2,700. Details and all the other amazing prizes, sponsor, or ticket information go to readingduckyderby.com or call 225-8583. The 29th Annual Ducky Derby, September 30th in Codwell Park. Get your tickets today. Brought to you by KCNR 1460 AM.
You know, this time of year in Shasta County, the need to heat your home is probably the last thing on your mind, right? Well, my friend SSD Oil says this is the ideal time to trade in your old monitor heater on a spanking new Toyotomi and save yourself up to $250. Your qualifying model monitor heater earns you a huge allowance on a Toya stove that will keep you warm and cozy all winter long. This deal is as hot as a Redding sidewalk in summer. SSD Oil, 241-1167, 241-1167.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you can use. Hi, it's Bob Belongi. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at boomertechradio.com, and the show is streamed live at kcnr1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trend. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR 1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Are you aware there are at least 7 million people in California who call themselves Christians? And of them, less than 15% will vote this coming election. If we are to survive the continuing moral decay of our California political leaders, every Christian must stand up, be counted, and vote. In order to return to godly moral values, Christians must vote according to the principles of the Bible. Regardless of your political party, please vote for candidates who believe in and live the values taught in the Word of God. If you are looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
Joe's Web Geeks are the geeks your business has been looking for. Now businesses in Shasta County have a resource to make online advertising easy. With our Jumpstart service, you can get a website with pages built to be found in search, a Facebook page, listings in over 25 directories, and a lot more for $8.99. Let Joe's Web Geeks help you so that you can get back to doing what you do best. Visit joeswebgeeks.com or call 515-9851.
All right.
right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, William Pullen. We're talking about the state of affairs in the UFO community. You know, we were talking a little bit before the break about how people seem to, like, bait the situation, especially when you're leading the group. They're probably looking to bait you because they're going after the biggest dog in the room. And yeah. So do you think that – are these internet trolls? I mean, or are these just people – I mean, what's going on here?
I've never been subject to a troll. Not that I'm aware of. I never declare my own positions, rarely, in my group, as far as the UFO issue, rarely. And the most common statement I make is, I don't know. Because the entire scenario to me is an enigma. So I'm very comfortable saying, I don't know. Or, I just don't know any answers. And, yeah. And at times, I don't even know what questions to ask.
Right, yeah, I think anybody with an analytical stance on anything should be very comfortable with the I don't know or I don't know yet answer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so really I guess the question has to be raised, how do we separate this? How do we, you know, create an effective UFO community for a world where everything is available? You know, do we become much more separatist, much more discerning about who we let in, or is it down to big data, or, like, you know, how do we do this?
My take in my group has always been, and I think it would work, that came off wrong, but I think the idea that everyone's welcome in the community, if you have an interest in this issue, you're welcome to come in and assist with investigations or just lend your commentary, your opinions to the massive voices in the world, in the country. I guess it would really pay dividends to just investigate all aspects of the phenomenon. Somebody might have the right idea. We might all be wrong as to the actual answer to this enigma. One of us might be right, but none of us will know if we don't investigate and do some homework, some critical thinking, and not eliminate and just cast aside any theory whatsoever, or any of them, but simply just have a cautious approach and say, tell ourselves, like, what does the evidence say? Is this a common sense assumption? Can we assume anything? Is this too much speculation? Just a more cautious, grounded approach, and we might arrive at some semblance of a few answers, but a very random speculative approach really doesn't get us anywhere, I don't think. But that, again, that's just my opinion. I might be dead wrong. So,
well, I noticed on Facebook, of course I follow you, and we're buddies on there, that you
I appreciate that.
You stopped being a member of your local MUFON, and MUFON tends to try really hard to separate, or at least this is their stance, that they try really hard to separate just the facts, ma'am. You know, they try to, you know, get all just the facts on it. You know, do you think they've gone too far to the point of being exclusionary by doing so?
I don't know. The situation in San Antonio was that the group was not diverse. There was a certain The group reflected a certain type of individual, and it wasn't diverse, and it wasn't really enamored with the scientific method. It really wasn't. It wasn't adhering to the mission statement of the larger group, the higher headquarters.
Oh, I see. In that case, they have been infiltrated and kind of going the opposite direction.
They were going the opposite direction, yeah. And so they gave me a wonderful opportunity to work with them, and I attempted that for 6 weeks, and then I was terminated. I think I might have pushed too hard, and maybe I did, but it was a great opportunity. I wish them only the best of luck. But as far as the higher headquarters, that they seem to be pushing in that direction again, the way they, back to a science-based approach to it, which I'm a big fan of. But as to where that's going to go, I don't know how successful they'll be. They're certainly always trying to push for membership,
right.
Which is, yeah, I mean, that's fine. They're a group. They're going to want to gain membership. but they can't lose. For a while, they've lost sight of their mission statement, that they need to regain their focus, scientific examination of the UFO issue. And hopefully that refocusing will pay dividends, but that remains to be seen. We'll see.
Now, I want to point out that this kind of issue plagues, you know, mainstream scientists as well. Like, we think of physicists, for example, we think of them as kind of like paragons of intellectual integrity. But Max Planck famously said, science advances one funeral at a time. And, you know, you saw when the theory of relativity came out in the physics field, many of the older generations of physicists didn't want to accept it because it was weird. Same with quantum mechanics, you know.
Yeah.
Even in a realm that is very evidence-based, you will always have an element of just plain human stubbornness and clickiness that leads to echo chambers.
Yeah, I watched that Cosmos with Neil deGrasse Tyson, and there was a whole segment on Newton being held back and having his ideas stolen from him and being held back on other ideas just because people, you know, weren't ready to be wrong.
Yeah, that is certainly a scenario. They always say the new ideas aren't accepted until the old guard dies off, which sounds very harsh, but maybe kind of true. That's certainly been the scenario with science. New theories have been experienced a lot of negative kickback. They haven't been accepted. And as generations go by and the older guard dies off, the new ideas that were once ridiculed turn to the mainstream. They become accepted. Like you said, with relativity and now with quantum mechanics, those theories faced a lot of kickback when they were first revealed and discovered. Mm-hmm. Now they're mainstream physics.
Einstein famously didn't care much for a lot of theories of quantum mechanics. He felt there had to be something we were missing that would make it more explicable and Newtonian.
Yeah, spooky action at a distance.
Exactly.
Yeah, or what do you say? God does not play dice.
Yeah.
To that effect. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Turns out maybe he does. Maybe he does.
Perhaps.
You know, it kind of seems like the UFO community needs a new, like a retronym. You know, like you used to have mail, and then you got email, so now we got to have the retronym of snail mail. You know, UFO research, it kind of seems like it needs to be split into two angles. One would be, you know, UFO spirituality, and one would be UFO science or something. We need to somehow differentiate those two so that we can sort of collect information.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a great approach. I mean, any approach that pays dividends is good. I mean, on a personal level, I'm open to all angles. I mean, I'm a science-based guy, but if someone else can use an approach that's not science-based but pays dividends and they gain information and knowledge from that, more power to them. I mean, in the end result is that the entire community, we all want the answers to the UFO issue. We all want this problem solved. However we get there. I mean, I'm a science guy. I prefer science. But if some other angle, some other approach gets us to the answer of the UFO enigma, more power to them, whatever gets us there. So maybe a change in the approach would be effective. Maybe going back to approach that was used a decade past would be effective. I mean, who knows? I mean, we'll see what transpires. But it's interesting how the changes in modern society have become apparent in the UFO community, like they have in religion and politics. It's kind of spread to us now. So we'll see what the future holds.
Yeah, or maybe when these scientific reports are being taken, you know, a checkbox needs to be checked for spiritual attitude, aspect, or something like that, so that we can take it into scientific consideration. You know, obviously there have been spiritual considerations in science, and so we can't refute those, but we do have to somehow categorize them, or we really have no place to go.
Well, sure, yeah. No, I mean, there are some pretty strange cases that science has a hard time wrapping their head around. So maybe a different approach would work, yeah.
You're talking about UFO cases here?
Yeah, UFO cases.
Yeah. Yeah, Dr. Alan Hynek used to call them high strangeness cases. They were so bizarre that they bordered on the paranormal. They bordered on the kind of case that really you really couldn't attack it with the scientific method. It took a less scientific approach.
Right.
You know, forgive my ignorance here, but I'm fascinated. What are some of examples of high strangeness cases?
Well, let me cut you off there. We're coming up on the next break, and we're going to pick this up with high strangeness. And when we come back with William Pullen here on Radio Wasteland.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
The Cascade Theater presents Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Graham Nash. Graham Nash has penned and performed some of the most iconic songs of the past 50 years, from the Hollies, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, to his own solo career. Nash's songs are legendary. Graham Nash at the Cascade Theater with an intimate evening of stories and songs October 3rd. Get tickets before they're all sold out at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
I'm Don Burton. I'm here with Bruce Blake, owner of Powerhouse Solar.
And Sue Blake.
We're at the beautiful Cottonwood Community Library, where you just finished up a job. They have solar now. What's it mean to them?
Well, Don, this compact 6-kilowatt system will offset the Cottonwood Community Library's entire electric bill. This is due to the efficient design and the quality of the SunPower panels, which are rated as the best solar panels on the market.
And the all-black panels present a beautifully clean look on the roof.
The SunPower panels can also be installed as a ground rack or a pole mount system.
How do you know which type of system is best for you?
Visit our showroom and design center today at 4616 Caterpillar Road in Reading,
where one of our solar design experts will sit down with you and present all of the available options and design a system specific to your energy needs.
And Powerhouse Solar can save you money on your home as well. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600.
And let us get the power of the sun working for your home or business.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Back to Radio Wasteland and our guest William Pullen. Right before we went to the commercial, Sean was asking, give us an example of that high strangeness. I'm guessing that this high strangeness is stuff like skinwalkers and stuff like that. William, can you huck us a few examples of high strangeness?
You hit the nail on the head. Skinwalker, that scenario. Sighting cases that report missing time. Lights indoors. Craft occupants walking through walls, individuals waking up with their clothes on backwards, just random occurrences that are non-mundane that you can't explain through any kind of nuts and bolts approach, you know, as opposed to other cases which have, radiation traces, landing marks, That's more of a nuts and bolts case, but these other cases that have high levels of high strangeness that border on the paranormal, it's hard to attack that with science. There's a lot of that in the UFO field.
Yeah, I'm about to ask, are any of these high strangeness cases credible in the same way that some of the more nuts, you know, your Roswell-style cases are?
Yeah. Well, certainly there's a big percentage that are unexplained. And being that it's hard to approach them scientifically, it's difficult to pin any number of explanations to them. So they still remain unexplained.
I'm guessing that the credibility levels of the person that it happens to is what makes them really stand out more than others, maybe?
Yes. Yeah. The background of the individual, the position they hold, if they are, say, of a have military background, or they're a lifelong outstanding citizen in their community or what have you, these credible, high-quality individuals reporting this, it lends some weight to the case, but it doesn't really assist us in getting to the bottom of it, so...
Yeah, and for you folks out there that maybe don't know what we're talking about but are obviously UFO fans, you know, some of the more squirrely episodes of X-Files are actually pulling from some of these real cases. There was one where it was like the Men in Black, and it was this sort of like funny, weird time travel back and forth impersonation thing. And these were really pulling from some of these like weird UFO cases where you just really don't know where else to put them.
No. Yeah. The producers of the X-Files did a good job of getting inspiration from cases that have been reported.
Yeah.
Some nuts and bolts, some are really high strangeness, and they would incorporate that into their scripts. Yeah.
So my question about the UFO community would be, do we think that a part of this, because once again, to parallel it to politics, you know, I'm reading this thing in the newspaper, and it says that we're more divided now as a country than we were during the election, which I found incredibly hard to believe at first. But my day job is I'm an online marketer, and I realized that the reason why we're more divided is because people came along and figured out how to monetize these belief systems. So we have shows and we have stuff where people have monetized belief systems and sucked people in and got them all worked up in a fervor because sensationalism is big. And do you think that this is happening to the UFO community? I can definitely tell you that it's happening to the Nibiru side of space conspiracy and stuff like that. There seems to be some serious, like, hardcore sensationalism going on there. But do you think that's happening to the UFO community? Do you think people are monetizing it, driving an even larger wedge down the middle?
I think to an extent it has happened. But I think some of the, I don't want to say negative, I think some of the problematic aspects that have been bubbling to the surface with the UFO issue, we kind of do it to ourselves. People, they have their beliefs and they're set in their ways, and they're very unwilling to examine evidence that may go against their own belief system. But you're right. Certainly the media and different programming people are exposed to that are UFO themed, I'll say, they do get people in those kind of scenarios where they present a certain angle and they gravitate to that. And they adhere to all the beliefs of that individual or that angle or that theory. And so it's kind of all the same lines as what's happened in politics. Maybe not to the same degree, but I think, yeah, it has bled over.
Yeah, and while not UFOs specifically, maybe a little bit, you know, Alex Jones would be a prime example of somebody who's taken conspiracy belief systems and obviously monetized them. He is paying the rent with that, you know. For complete transparency for everyone out there, William and Sean and I, we all have day jobs. We are not paying the rent with our love of the paranormal,
no.
You know.
No.
That would be great, though. But
oh, it would be great. It would be great. And, you know, that's why I hope to maintain a skeptical view going in, so if the day ever does come, I can basically already be branded as the skeptical guy, so I don't need to change anything. But here's a guy who definitely, Alex Jones is a prime example of somebody who is taking this fervor and paying the rent with it. And yeah, yeah. I think that that's a big split going on. I mean, religion obviously does it. So once you start pulling religion into UFOs, I'm sure it's happening.
Sure, yeah. Regardless of what an individual thinks of his content in his programs, he's certainly capitalized on it to a great degree. He's paying the rent, and that's fine. It's a capitalist society, but he's really gone the nth degree to in that direction. I'm not gonna fault for somebody for wanting to pay the bills, but being able to keep up your level of integrity while doing that can be a slippery slope.
Yeah, absolutely. That's definitely what I was saying. Of course, if you have the opportunity to pay the bills by doing something you love, of course you should do it.
Sure. Yeah. That's we would all be in that. We would all love to be in that scenario. So.
If only I was in love with Pizzagate.
Yep. Yeah.
But I'm not.
That's right.
All right, William, we're coming up on the end of the interview here. Can you tell our audience a little bit more about how they can find out about you and really what they're going to find when they get there?
You can always find me at my UFO Interactive group on Facebook. It's entitled You For Real, A Historical Review. And I have a new project coming together with four other individuals in San Antonio. It's called UFO Cryptid Investigators, where we're trying to apply the scientific method to local UFO and cryptid sightings here in the greater San Antonio area. We have a page on Facebook that's titled that, and you can find us there. We're all science-based, and we'd love to hear sighting reports and stories and go from there. So we encourage that.
All right, William. Well, we always love having you on, and for our audience, I'm sure we'll have William on in the next couple of few months again, because you are a mainstay. You are definitely part of our family here now. Just to remind our audience, one time when I was out of town, William filled in as a guest host with Sean. William, you're one of us, and we really appreciate you.
Thank you for having me on, gentlemen. It's a pleasure. It's all the honor is all mine. Thanks again.
All right. You've been listening to William Pullen here on Radio Wasteland.
Take me to your leader. space aliens land
in Austin, Texas. The head space alien says, Mojo, take me to your leader.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding, by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.